The story of Kohl's and your Amazon castoffs. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, Boeing releases its January to March results in a few minutes. Investors, customers, and passengers may really want more info about when the company's 737 MAX planes can be allowed to fly again. These have been grounded since March after two fatal crashes. Marketplace's Jack Stewart has more.
Boeing's building 42 737 MAX planes a month, but nobody's taking delivery. Madhu Unnikrishnan is from Skift Airline Weekly.
Each of those aircraft that's sitting on a tarmac is not sold and is not cash coming into the company.
Boeing's fix to the plane's MCAS flight control software still needs certification by global regulators. But airlines may not immediately accept it, says Kevin Michaels of Aerodynamic Advisory.
Airlines today are under significant pressure from the traveling public to get this right.
Boeing's also under pressure over the 787 production line in South Carolina. The company says a recent New York Times report on shoddy manufacturing practices there paints a skewed and inaccurate picture.
I don't think that this quality issue is related to the MCAS issue and that everything is falling apart at Boeing.
Kevin Michaels says he's watching other expenses of the 737 MAX crashes, reduced bargaining power with airlines, and the costs of compensation. I'm Jack Stewart for Marketplace.
Boeing's stock is down 15% since its high before the second 737 crash in March. Some other market data, the FTSE index in London is down 0.3%. Hong Kong was down 0.5%. U.S. stock index futures are little changed. Dow futures up about 0.1%. Kohl's department stores just saw a nice bounce in its stock after it worked out a deal with a competitor, Amazon. If you want to return something to Amazon, it happens. You can take it to Kohl's now, but listen to who pays for this. Here's Marketplace's Ben Bradford.
The deal expands on a two-year-old trial at 100 stores. Amazon isn't paying Kohl's, and in fact, Kohl's will ship the items back at its own expense, which Morningstar analyst David Swartz says may sound baffling.
Because Kohl's competes with Amazon, and Amazon is probably Kohl's number one problem.
Schwartz says foot traffic has dropped as more consumers flock online, especially to Amazon. So why should Kohl's help Amazon shoppers?
I think they see the benefit of just bringing people into the stores.
Also, Kohl's may be betting that those people returning items will buy something else in the store. University of Minnesota marketing professor Kathleen Voss says it's called the windfall effect.
Well, it's like we have newfound money, but yet, of course, it's our money. People tend to spend it on things that are more frivolous, more fun, not necessarily necessities.
Go into Kohl's to make an Amazon return, and you may turn around feeling flush with cash in a department store ready for an impulse purchase. I'm Ben Bradford for Marketplace.
More today on a set of cases the U.S. Supreme Court this week agreed to hear that will determine if employers can or cannot discriminate against people because of their sexual orientation. The Civil Rights Act of 55 years ago outlawed discrimination on the basis of race, color, national origin, religion, or sex. Let's take a moment to consider the workplaces in question. One involves a skydiving school where a gay instructor was fired after a student didn't like being strapped to him during dives. There are two other workplaces here in what could be a landmark ruling. Veteran Supreme Court watcher Amy Howe is co-founder of SCOTUS Blog. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Under Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, it seems as if one could be fired on the basis of their sexual preference until these cases.
There's no federal law that says you can't be fired based on your sexual orientation. Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 says, you know, that you can't be discriminated on in the workplace because of sex.
There's a gay man in Georgia who used to work at Child Welfare Services as a coordinator and also was driven out.
That's Gerald Bostock. He worked in Clayton County, Georgia, as a child welfare services coordinator. He claims he was fired because he was gay, although he says that the county manufactured an excuse to fire him. He went to court, and the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit says that Title VII doesn't bar employers from firing someone, that the phrase because of sex doesn't include sexual orientation.
Also, under consideration, the case of a transgender woman in Michigan?
Yes, this is the case of Amy Stevens, who worked at a funeral home in Michigan. And When Amy started working at the funeral home, Amy was Anthony Stevens. And during the time that Amy worked there, Amy went to her employer and said, you know, I'm going to be coming to work. I'm going to be transitioning from a man to a woman. And the employer had a dress code. The men and women were expected to dress in a particular way. And the employer fired her. Amy went to court. The funeral home is bringing the case to the Supreme Court. And this is a slightly different question because it involves transgender employees rather than gays and lesbians. But it's the same basic question, whether Title VII bars discrimination against transgender people.
So this could be a watershed decision when it comes to the treatment of gay, lesbian, trans people in the workplace. Companies have been taught to know how to reduce the chances of gender discrimination or racial discrimination. There are procedures and HR mechanisms, and those could be adapted to lower the chances, one supposes, of discrimination against gays, lesbians, and trans people, depending on how this decision goes.
Absolutely. That's absolutely right. The other interesting thing that could be set up, if the court were to rule that Title VII does include discrimination based on sexual orientation, based on transgender status, that companies can't discriminate against gays and lesbians, against transgender people, then it sets up another battle, is sort of the interaction between those rights and the rights of religious employers.
Veteran Supreme Court watcher Amy Howe is co-founder of SCOTUS Blog. Amy, thanks.
Thanks for having me.
And the Fed, in its role of bank regulator, is trying to clarify its rules about what it considers a bank worthy of its regulation. When a bank invests in, say, a startup, does that trigger the full weight of Fed regulation of the little startup? I'm telling you this because of the following line from Fed Vice Chair Randall Quarles, who said these rules have been tough to understand, except for people who, quote, have spent a long apprenticeship in the subtle hermeneutics of Federal Reserve lore, receiving the wisdom of their elders through oral tradition. I'll tweet what hermeneutics means. I just had to look it up. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.